You may be seated. We're going to talk about resurrection this morning, and we're in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and we'll begin in verse 12. But Paul, in his first 11 verses of chapter 15, he gives solid proof of a resurrected Jesus. Who has seen Jesus in his resurrected body? Paul will talk about Peter, was one of the first witnesses. But the women who rushed to the tomb, how about them? They're not mentioned in Paul's proof of Jesus being resurrected. Mary Magdalene and the other women that were there, they were the absolute first witnesses of Jesus being resurrected. But Paul considers the culture he lives in. And in that culture, in that time, the word of a woman held no official weight. A woman could not be used in a court as a witness because they were women. Were women the first ones that Jesus appeared to? Absolutely. And the gospel writers affirmed this truth, especially in the book of John. But Paul presented valid proof of Jesus and his resurrection, and he presents it in a way that would hold up in court. And Paul is writing to the Corinthians, who had accepted a risen Christ, but had doubts about their own personal resurrection. It is possible that the Corinthians held on to the Sadducees' belief of no resurrection because the Sadducees kind of ran the temple and all that went on there. But Paul, he will now reason with the Corinthians about resurrection. Now, there was no one present in the tomb when Jesus was raised to life. So we wonder, was it sort of like the movie Star Trek, you know, where they visualize and he came alive? Well, we don't know. No one was there, only Jesus. And in that tomb, mortality put on immortality. For Jesus came forth with a body, a resurrected body, that didn't have the limitations of a physical body. He was able to go through locked doors and through walls, yet he eats and drinks with the disciples. He has breakfast with them. He even invites Thomas to touch and feel his resurrected body. And he told Thomas, touch and feel, but be believing, Thomas. And therefore, Paul carefully gives proof of a resurrected Jesus. Now, the Corinthians were believers. Paul declares, we preached, you believed. So they were believers. And today, many believe in Jesus' resurrection, but many also have doubts about their own personal resurrection, what kind of body they will have, where they will go, this kind of thing. And you have, and I have, come across Christians who have doubts about personal resurrection. Where the dead in Christ will rise first in the rapture, and we will go and meet them in the air when Jesus returns to get us. So Paul, he will set forth in verses 12 through 19 the truth of the resurrection. So let's read 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 19. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom if he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. The Corinthians had trouble believing that they themselves would receive a resurrected body. Perhaps that was part of the Greek philosophy or that had an influence on them there in Corinth, and who scoffed, the Greek philosophers scoffed at personal resurrection. Also, the Sadducees, the Jewish leaders, the chief priests and others who ran the temple, they looked upon resurrection as wishful thinking. They did not believe in resurrection. And Jesus said to the Sadducees, "You err in that you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God." In Matthew 22, the Sadducees come and they pose a question to Jesus. So let's jump over, or I'll read to you, Matthew 22, verse 23 through 33. The same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked, saying, "Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise the second, also the third, even to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection that they don't believe in, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her." Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection there is neither marriage nor given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read, which was spoken to you by God, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob'? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. Astonished because no one refuted the Sadducees. Jesus put to silence the belief of no resurrection. For Jesus points out God is the God of the living. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and they were the patriarchs of all the Jews. And Jesus quotes Genesis and Exodus, two of the five books that the Sadducees did believe in, as proof of resurrection. He says, if there is no resurrection, then Christ neither is risen, and our preaching and beliefs in faith are in vain. There's no point in it whatsoever. Paul goes on to say, if Christ did not rise, our faith is futile. We are still in our sins. Resurrection is crucial to our faith. For a person to receive salvation, they must believe that Jesus is alive, that he rose from the grave. And our fellow believers, those that who have died, have all perished if there's no resurrection. Paul will conclude, if we only have hope in Christ for our present life, we are the most pitiable. That's a word we don't throw around too much today. It really means of no hope. It's a cruel hoax upon Christianity if there is no resurrection. Therefore, we have a belief in rapture, where the dead in Christ rise first, and that's a fundamental belief that we will go to meet them in the air. So let's continue on with Paul's argument here in verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet, but when he says all things are under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. How then all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Paul, he goes on to declare, our faith is worthless if there's no resurrection after life. Yet there are religion, there's cults that do not believe in heaven or hell. You ever have a Jehovah Witness come to your door? I had a couple come. You know, the old timer sits out by the street and the rookie comes up to your door. And I was just leaving my home when this young lady came to my door. And I said, I'm leaving. I don't have time to engage you in debate or an argument. But let me pose a question to you. If I were looking for a religion, for something to hope in, I would never choose your religion or your hope. And she wanted to know why not. I said, because you offer me no future. This life is all there is. Why would I accept something that doesn't give me a hope of things, a hope of heaven in particular? And I gave that young lady something to think about as I was leaving. Paul, he is reasoning with the Corinthians. And we Christians, he said, we still remain in our sins if Christ did not arise. If the truth of resurrection is null and void, then our preaching, my preaching as Paul, an apostle, has been vanity. For resurrection is a core belief of Christian faith. If no resurrection, then we have only to believe in a partial gospel. Thank God for resurrection. For salvation is to be real, is to be a solid hope. This life is not all there is. Jesus had to overcome death, rise again, or Christianity would only be a cult, a temporary belief, a feel-good belief for the moment. The last enemy, death, still reigns. Death is still with us. Therefore, to a non-resurrected Jesus, he is not God, that you can put your trust in if there is no resurrection. Resurrection is proof of Jesus and who he said he was. Remember the high priest after the crucifixion? They wanted to put guards on the tomb of Jesus. They wanted to keep Jesus in the tomb. They did not want to see a resurrected Jesus. If there is no resurrection, then this Christianity thing will go away, for it's a false hope. Resurrection had to come about. It's our hope. It's the core belief of our system. Jesus came to nullify the power of sin and of death. Verse 26, the last enemy that Jesus overcame was death. And for salvation to be real, Jesus had to rise from the grave, from the dead. And if Jesus, and in Jesus, I should say, all are made alive. For when Adam sinned, he put a curse on all of us. And that curse was death. When you sin, you're going to die. And that came about. But praise be to our Lord. The first fruits of redemption is overcoming the sin of Adam. And we have the power of God demonstrated, made alive, when Jesus came back to life. Next, Paul will speak of being baptized for the dead, another argument that Paul puts forth, and that's in verses 29 through 34. Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead if the dead do not rise at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead? And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me if the dead do not rise? Let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. We have people being baptized for us, whether we realize it or not. Mormons. Mormons go through a ritual of being baptized for us who don't believe in the Mormon way, and they actually are baptized for us. That's good of them, I guess. But Paul goes on to say, if there's no hope in resurrection, let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And Paul concludes his thought with, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. As Christians, we are to awaken. We are to be awake to righteousness, fleeing from sin. For there is some among you who do not have the knowledge of God. And Paul speaks of this to the Corinthians, and he said, and that's a shame. Do our friends know we are Christians? Do they know we have a hope in resurrection? Share with them. They should know this. And Paul says, these Corinthians, they're open to shame because they haven't shared a living Christ. We live in a world. Christian America needs to awaken to the truth of rapture and resurrection, and not scoff at it. We've all heard, I heard that from my mom, and I heard that years ago about the rapture, and it still hasn't taken place. Yep, we're closer, though. And we look around at the world around us, and our hope becomes in Jesus returning to take us home. I don't know how much further America will be given grace, the world be given grace, till that last Gentile is saved, I guess, that we have hope in being resurrected. It's a living hope, a resurrected Jesus. Paul declares, do not be ignorant of the rapture, nor the resurrection of those who have died in the faith. We have hope. And Paul presents an argument here, you know, that would hold up how so many different people, all the disciples and apostles and over 500 there, had witnessed the resurrected Jesus, a valid proof of resurrection. And today, that is our hope. Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close with prayer. Father, thank you for giving us your word. We have a hope in you, Jesus. You rose from the grave and you told us that we too have hope of resurrection. You overcome death for us, Lord. You died that we may live. We give you thanks for that. And Lord, may we be firm in it when we see the ways and the customs of our country seem to be falling apart, Lord. We see a people around us that have no hope, who have given up hope. Assure them that there is a resurrection and assure them that they need to live a righteous life before you. And let us be witnesses, Lord, of your goodness, of your grace, and how we have a hope that is not based upon man, but based upon Jesus and how Jesus rose from the grave. And he talked how we would be changed and we would go to meet those in the air in the rapture. The rapture is a great hope we have. Future events that you have planned for us, Lord. So we pray, Lord, come quickly. Come, take us home to be with you, Lord. Redeem us, Lord. Make our salvation real and full and complete. And Lord, we pray that we would be witnesses of you and your goodness, and that we would be that voice, that one telling others, there is a change coming, and we will all be resurrected. So live a life before God that is acceptable. So we pray, Lord, to you, come, redeem us, take us home to be with yourself. We pray and ask for this in your name, Jesus.